next stop, the Super Bowl. Hell yeah, you know we on. We built to do this all night long. Who that say they gon' beat them Saints? They a lie. They can try, but in the dome, we know they ain't. Let's go. We on the road. The next stop, the Super Bowl.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Who dat, and welcome back to the Canal Street Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, as usual, Brendan Ertle. I'm alongside my co-host, the great Nate Williamson. Nate, what's up?
What's going on, everybody?
I hope you enjoyed your bye week. It was a nice, relaxing week for me. I watched a little bit of football, but I tried to take a break, a mind break, like the Saints probably did, stay away from football for the week. But how was your bye week?
Pretty much watched Red Zone on Sunday. I was at work the other day, so I wasn't really watching a lot of the like midweek stuff, but you know, just keeping tabs here and there, more following. I watched a lot of soccer this week, so that was kind of a nice change of pace, but you know, it'll be nice to be back with the boys in black and gold here this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, two kinds of football. Football and football.
I am all over both of them.
yeah. I was keeping, only thing I was really doing was keeping tabs on the division. I watched the Carolina game play for play, because that's our next opponent, and I was close. It was a close game. But of course, we always start with the division. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're looking hot. They're looking real good. They beat the Green Bay Packers, and it wasn't close. In the beginning of that game, it was 10-0 Packers. And I was like, okay, Tampa Bay might drop this one, and 38 straight points for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. And they sit at 4-2, and they're back at number one in the division. We thought after the loss to the Bears, they might drop a couple. But Tom Brady, they're right back in that number one spot. And the Saints got a win to get that spot back. And, of course, they had their bye week, but they sit at number two. Carolina lost a really close game to the Bears, 23-16, in a game where I was super unimpressed about just the whole team. And I thought Teddy played all right, but he made some costly turnovers. You could argue what wasn't his fault. So they're third in the division at 3-3. And the Falcons destroyed, I'll say, the Minnesota Vikings, 40-23. And quietly, I was voting for the Falcons in this game just because the rumors of Matt Ryan maybe being his last year with the team or whatnot, whatever you want to say. I don't want them even getting close to Trevor Lawrence. I do not want him in the division. I don't want any good quarterbacks from this year's draft on that team. So if they can get a couple wins here and there, I'm fine with that. What are your thoughts on the division this week?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was that Tampa Bay game against Green Bay, the Battle of the Bays, if you prefer. I don't mean my current girlfriend versus my ex-girlfriend, but it was just insane. Like, I was not expecting that scoreline in either direction, truthfully. And if I did, I thought it would be Aaron Rodgers just going absolutely ham and, you know, torching what we thought coming into the season, or at least I thought was a average at best, a very young, a very new secondary for Tampa Bay. You know, they've got some guys on that defense, but compared to the offense, it's just not quite up to the standard of what we thought coming into the season they would be like. But man, they played their eyes out. They played lights out against Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Aaron Jones and that entire team. And really shut them down. And I think a lot of that goes back to Bruce Arians. And that was a really, really well-coached game by the entire Tampa Bay staff. But Green Bay just looked bad. They looked nothing like the team that the Saints beat or this that beat the Saints, excuse me, that would have been awkward. But in, you know, sometimes you'll have that during a season. You know, the Saints beat Tampa Bay early in the season, and now they don't look like anything like they did either. So, you know, it's a ride. And this season, especially with no preseason and not a lot of ramp up time for chemistry purposes and everything, it's going to be a roller coaster. And we're already starting to see that as the bye weeks come into play and everything. So, yeah, that was kind of crazy. Carolina came out super flat, did not look good at all. And I guess the Bears are just having a way with the NFC South. They just are doing what they want to do. And, you know, it's definitely not surprising. I don't think the way that the conference is unfolding, aside from Atlanta. You know, we thought Atlanta would be right up there with New Orleans and Tampa Bay. And, you know, much to our happiness as Saints fans and as Saints commentators, they are not anywhere near that. But like you said, we really kind of do hope that they pick it up, because we do not want to see Trevor Lawrence wearing those god awful, hideous pieces of garbage bag looking Atlanta jerseys. They're awful. And you can't tell me otherwise. Anybody listening to this wants to fight me about it, feel free. But yeah, I really hope he doesn't end up there. And I really hope that they don't get any of these other solid guys that still need a year and could sit behind Matt Ryan for a year, because that would be trouble for the NFC South for a while. In the age that the NFC South is in is the age of elderly quarterbacks, you know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, other than Teddy Bridgewater. And yeah, so, I mean, it'll definitely be interesting, because if Atlanta can, I don't want to say play themselves into a top pick, but definitely play themselves into a top pick, the draft becomes a whole lot scarier for the NFC South, because that team is good. And that's the reason I don't think they'll end up there. I know we talk about that just about every week, but how surprising is their season? Their trajectory is weird. Head coach is gone. It's time for a fresh start. And usually with a fresh start will come a fresh quarterback. You know, they're talking about trading Julio.
Fire sale.
I do not see why you would trade Julio even in a fire sale. You know, like I fully endorse getting him out of the division. That's fine. You know, whatever. Do what you got to do, Atlanta. Just open your Chick-fil-A on Sundays, for Pete's sake. Come on now.
I know. But I'm looking at the Bears, actually, and they are 3-0 against the NFC South so far. Mm-hmm. They've helped us more than any team. They've helped us more than we've helped ourselves, honestly. And we have them coming up after Carolina, looking a week ahead. That's not going to be a pushover game, because they've played well against NFC South teams. It's weird, because I said played well, but literally they don't look good at all, and they just find a way to win these games. Even when they beat Tampa Bay, they didn't look good. But I won't get too far into that. We were actually going to record this podcast yesterday, and I'm super glad we did not, because we got tons of news today. And news late yesterday about seating in the Superdome, and this is super exciting news. The mayor finally, I didn't want to say she gave in, because she really didn't, but for this week's game, we get 3,000 fans in the Superdome, which is literally nothing. It's like less than 3% of what there should be in that stadium. But we're moving forward. And they agreed on doubling up fans for the next few weeks. So against San Francisco in, 2 weeks after this, they'll be in the Dome again against the Niners. They will have 6,000 fans. And the week after that, they'll also have 6,000. And when Kansas City and Minnesota comes in, they get to 15,000. And that will be the cap for the regular season, which kind of sucks. It's sad. I know some fans wanted to see the Saints and Baton Rouge playing in the Tiger Stadium with more than 25,000 fans, but I know the Saints for sure didn't want to do that because you kind of take the home element away from playing in Baton Rouge, because you're taking a bus an hour or so and you're traveling back. Yes, you got the fans on your side, but it's just something they didn't really want to do, and of course they wanted to be in that Superdome playing at home. But we knew the fans wouldn't be too big of an impact this year, which sucks. With all the circumstances the Saints are in, this is kind of their last push, and the fans they would love to have, but adversity strikes. And looking at these past 3 years, the bright spot for the Saints is these first five games. I don't think they've had a worse five game stretch in these past 3 or 4 years alone. And they've had maybe their worst five game stretch, and they are sitting at 3-2 with the potential to be still first in their division. with great playoff odds, and they're getting Michael Thomas back. I'll talk about the injury report here in a second. But last thing is Christian McCaffrey will probably be a no-go. 95.8% chance he doesn't go, which is a good thing for the Saints. I love to see that guy healthy, but he is too talented. He's always finds a way to get 100 or something like crazy stats like that. So he won't go, but Mike Davis has been playing well for Carolina. But what are your thoughts on 3,000 fans in the Superdome?
You know, I am one of those fans that would have absolutely loved to see the Saints go up to Baton Rouge and play in Tiger Stadium. It wouldn't have been the first time it's happened, but it would have been the first time in recent memory. And it would have been really cool. But that is just like 50% of me saying that. And the other 50% is on the train of, you know, probably not a good thing in the state of Louisiana, which is already struggling so bad with COVID, you know, whatever side of that argument you fall on. You know, just it, to me, morally, having like that many people in one place is just kind of like, whatever. Like, I don't think that's the best idea, but if people want to do that, you know, that's fine. This is America for a reason. But yeah, I don't think the Saints ever wanted to do that. I think you're right. I think they would have bluffed their way into as low of a number as they had to, where they could allow more fans in and allow fans in. You know, if that had come down to 3,000, 4,000 fans, I think they probably would have agreed to that along the way, because I mean, they played a hard bargain, you know, that they make a lot of money, you know, not just in the Superdome, but for everything, for the city and for the state as a whole. And to lose them to, you know, LSU, where you're not getting all that money to the city of New Orleans, would have been a huge deal. So they really did have the upper hand. And I shout out to Mrs. Benson and that staff, because they played that hand like they're playing Texas Hold'em on the championship circuit on TV, because they did really well. You know, it's not a lot of fans, and I still am pro decibel test. I think you should have to pass a decibel test to be loud enough to be allowed in. But you know, we're on the right track. And I think overall there is a lot of talk about, you know, as a country, the numbers are spiking and everything, but that was always going to happen when the winter came. And, you know, it's probably something that we're going to have to live with forever. So it's encouraging to see us at least to be able to safely get back on track in some ways. And, you know, I'll be hoping and praying it comes out safe so we can keep growing those numbers. I hope everybody's super responsible. If you're lucky enough to go to the game, be responsible. Just do what they tell you. I know you might not like it, but just do it. Just be a good human. You know, we got to do it sometime. So, except for me, I never am a good human, Brendan. But, you know, I like it. I think we're on the right track overall. And Christian McCaffrey not playing is the best thing that could have happened to the Saints this week to finish that second part. But I love the guy. I hope he can come back soon. Just not this week.
Yeah, if you're one of the 3,000 season ticket holders that get picked for this game, honestly, just go buy a lottery ticket, because the odds are not in your favor. I know my family has season tickets, and we decided to forego those for this season. And I know there aren't a ton of season ticket holders left that are staying for the season, but if you get those tickets, go to the game, cheer loud. They're going to need you. I think they still get the 70 decimals of fake noise. So plus the 3,000 crowd noise. I'm just doing math here, but it's going to be a little bit more than what we've seen in the past. But yeah, like you said, the COVID going on before the season, I had a COVID specialist come onto the show, and personally, after talking to her, I didn't think there was going to be a season. I thought after a few weeks it would go downhill, and we've had moments where it's like we had little freakouts with the Titans, today with the Raiders, a little freakout with the offensive line, but it hasn't been anything league changing where they've had to pause the league or they've delayed games a day or two, but it's been nothing too crazy. So I'm just thankful that we have football. 3,000 fans sucks. We're missing 87,000 of those fans, but just thankful we get to have football. And staying on that health page, maybe one of the most positive injury reports we've had from the Saints this season, honestly. Besides week one, this has been the most positive injury report, and it hasn't even been that good. I want to talk about a few of these players a little bit in depth after, but Janoris Jenkins, he posted on Instagram, I quote, "back like I never left, who dat?" So he was a full participant today. So he is back. We get the Jackrabbit and Marshawn back. I can't remember the last time they played together. But yeah, that is a huge thing that we get both those guys back. He's
been our best corner this season. So that is gigantic.
Easily.
I hadn't heard that one yet, so that's news to me too.
Yeah, and full participant as well was Deontay Harris, who is also big getting back for that kicking game. But Marquez Callaway is right there too. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't able to go, I think Callaway could have stepped in and done great. But Deontay, we love to get back another part of the offense. Justin Hardy, one of the main substitute teamers, was limited. Michael Thomas, who we will get into after this, was limited. Teron Armstead did not practice, with a hand injury. This isn't too major. We still think he'll be able to go next week. He played with that hand injury last week or 2 weeks ago, and he had a wrap on that hand. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to assume, but I assume it's just precautionary to have him out. There's no point of him practicing. Nick Easton, Benny Fowler, and JT Gray all did not practice as well. So honestly, this injury report, it makes me happy. It's a pretty good one. But the main concern here is Michael Thomas.
Yeah, that's definitely a big concern because we know what he can do. We know this season, I think they really need him maybe more than ever. So, you know, Armstead would probably be a bigger loss at this point for me than, you know, Thomas would sitting out another week, because we've seen, you know, Sanders steps up with there's ways to scheme it, especially thanks to one Alvin Airhead Kamara, where we can just do the offense in a good way. But Mike Thomas, such a big part of that offense, but nothing bigger than one of your starting tackles, one of your starting all pro, all everything, all universe tackles that are both so good. And you know, I think he'll probably go, you know, we'll see him do like a Marcus Davenport with his hand all kind of like wrapped up, clubbed up. And speaking of Marcus Davenport, great game last week. I was actually very happy with his impact. I didn't know if we talked about that or not, but anyway, got to throw that out there. But yeah, hopefully Mike Thomas can go. I think limited for him means, hey, I'm coming back whether you like it or not, Sean.
Yeah.
So, I think we'll see him, go, knock on wood. I hope we do.
Yeah, I have Davenport in all caps in my notes. I definitely wanted to touch on him in a bit. For those who don't know, Michael Thomas has had the ankle injury, of course, but today they added a hamstring onto the injury list, which could mean a few things. I have some conspiracy theories. This isn't a report. Don't quote me on this. But 2 weeks ago, when Michael Thomas got in that fight, he took to Twitter and he said he had a setback during practice. We didn't know what that setback was, and we can assume that he was pushing the ankle too much because he said he wasn't healthy. He said he was hurting. When you tend to have ankle injuries, you kind of rely on other parts of your body more. So maybe he pulled that hammy and it didn't feel good, or it could have been a new thing today where he hurt his hamstring. We don't know. And when you see Nick Underhill and Kat Terrell be at practice, they get 15 minutes to see those guys. And they said they saw Michael Thomas for a little bit and they left the field. And Nick Underhill said that he brought an extra pair of shoes. I'm going to get really conspiracy theory here, but don't know if those were cleats or like train shoes, but I want to assume that Michael Thomas was limited because got a little bit of practice. He's Michael Thomas, doesn't need too much of practice. Allen Iverson practices for the week, but he probably, I want to say he got extra work off the side in like a training room or something. So maybe slipped on some tennis shoes and went to go stretch out the ankle. But yeah, I definitely think he'll play in this week's game. If he comes in and offense is like white bread and it's amazing, it just shows how important Michael Thomas is to this offense. And I think when we knew Michael Thomas was going to miss some weeks, our initial thoughts was like, okay, Emmanuel Sanders is going to be great. Traquan Smith is going to be great. I'm not too happy with what they got done with those guys. I think Sanders got a really good groove with Drew Brees, but Jared Cook needs to be in the offense more. Traquan Smith had one good game, kind of went off a little bit last week, but there were times in that game when Drew was just throwing to Benny Fowler with routes that would have been Michael Thomas routes, and it just looked ugly. So I mean, I want to assume that when Michael Thomas gets back, this offense is going to start humming, but we want him back healthy, of course.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problem with Benny Fowler is you know, we expect him to come in and be a Saints receiver. We expect him to come in and be, you know, good hands, great hands. And he's got some drops. He's got some good catches, some good plays, of course, too, that we can't overlook. And nobody is going to come in and be Michael Thomas. But, you know, Traquan and Emmanuel Sanders both had about one good game, I would argue, each. And, you know, that just doesn't replace someone like Mike Thomas, who is the best receiver in the NFL. And they never were going to, and I was guilty of this. I think we probably had a little bit too high of hopes. That being said, if they can play a complimentary 2, 3, and 4 to Mike Thomas's 1, this offense becomes absolutely terrifying. And if you have a game down the road where Traquan goes off or where Emmanuel Sanders goes off, and Mike Thomas going off, the Saints might put up 50 points on one of these teams. You know, the defense might let up 60, but you know, whatever, that's fine. Offense wins games, right?
yeah, they do. And that's been one of the struggles. They've been putting up 28, 30, 35 points, but it's been like ugly points. Like, it's been drives mm-hmm. that didn't look very pretty. We're used to the Saints offense being super beautiful, these methodical long drives where it's like, okay, everything's going for us, the offense line's destroying, we got perfect passes, but it's like dink and dunk, a little bit ugly trying to get down the field. It's not pretty, and I think of course Michael Thomas is a big part of that, but it feels weird because Carlton Davis did a great job against Michael Thomas week 1. And just the way that game played out, there wasn't a lot of opportunities in offense for the Saints, even though they almost scored 41 points. But like I said, that it's the 41 points that they could have scored were kind of ugly. They ended up getting 34. But we're sitting here with Carolina, with a defense that's not very good. They've played well in games. We could maybe see Eli Apple's debut in Carolina. He's been inactive for a couple of weeks. I don't know if he's hurt or he's just bad. I assume it's the bad part, but I'd love to see Michael Thomas get his first week back against Eli Apple, former teammate.
Oh, former teammate on 2 levels, right? Yeah, both at Ohio State and the Saints. That's pretty crazy to think about. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun. Not for Eli Apple, but it'd be a lot of fun for us.
I'm sure they've gone up against each other in practice numerous times.
Yeah,
at Ohio State and in New Orleans, of course.
Truthfully, I wonder how Apple would stand up. I know we make fun of Eli Apple, you know, all that drama and everything with him and everything. But, you know, when you've seen a guy as much as he's seen Michael Thomas, it could be interesting to watch them and see if Mike maybe has to switch some things up, see if Sean maybe has to draw some different things up. It could be interesting. So I, for one, am pulling for him to play for sure.
Being honest, I was an Eli Apple supporter last year. I thought he played well in a few games, and I was defending him. Yeah, I was defending him, but there was a reason they brought in Janoris Jenkins, and he got sat on the bench and hasn't really found a groove yet. Got a deal with the Las Vegas Raiders that fell through. And then he's with the Panthers and hasn't done anything with them yet. But let's get about like the main topic. Teddy Bridgewater's first return to New Orleans. Our quote unquote future was Teddy Bridgewater. That didn't end up happening. His return to New Orleans, his first game against the Saints. I'm really excited to play him. And I always want the best for him. But I hope we just lock him down this game.
I am too. I hope the secondary locks him down and we get some nice gentle, easy sacks, because if the Saints were to hurt him, my heart would break, because that would be so sad for everybody involved, really. I love Teddy. You know, it's hard not to. You know, he brought something so different, and I wouldn't have mind seeing him as the future, but, you know, sometimes you just got to move on and make a business decision. But when we do have fans in attendance, you know, if that all works out, everything's good, they damn well all better be on their feet when that man takes the field, because he helped us out so much last season. I can't even begin to describe it. You know, if we hadn't had him, we're running Taysom Hill at quarterback for 5-6 games. And even as a Taysom Hill stan, I don't like the way that looks.
Nope. And if you remember, Teddy's first real kind of game action his first touchdown with the Saints was against Carolina.
Yeah.
So lots of connections here.
It's a lot of storylines, as is so common. I feel like the NFC South is crazy with storylines.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest. I was one of the people who thought he could maybe be the guy after Drew Brees. I thought Drew Brees would end up retiring by now, but yeah, he's still here slinging it. But Teddy, looking back on the trade, when we traded for Teddy Bridgewater, we sent a third round pick to Carolina. Looking back on it, even if it was just a, insurance for Drew, I still would have done it. And like, mm-hmm. you look at what he did, even though we couldn't get him long-term, I still would have done that again. We probably will get a comp pick back for him. We don't know. The NFL always finds a way to screw us, but could get a third round pick back for him. And he helped us put ourselves in position to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But obviously couldn't get that done. We're sitting here against Teddy Bridgewater, and I love Teddy. I love Teddy. But I think this is the first quarterback they're facing that doesn't have amazing, deep, strong arm strength. A guy like Herbert, Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers can just sling it with ease. I feel like that's not Teddy's game, and I feel like that's been the hard part for the Saints defense. Secondary in particular is stopping the deep pass. Mike Williams had a great game against them. I think that'll be key. Robbie Anderson has found leaky routes where he just is wide open. So they got to do a really good job on Robbie. But I think this is their game to have a statement. And it starts with the D-line and Davenport. I definitely want to touch base on Davenport and Trey. But defensive line's playing real well.
Yeah, they've looked really good last game. And, you know, Trey has looked good for a long time in this season. He's looked really, really solid. And you got to be happy with how he's been producing, especially, you know, coming back from an injury and, you know, all these factors that seem to be rooting against him. And I literally saw on Twitter people saying we should trade him, and that made me angry. So if you're one of those people, don't be. But yeah, and Davenport coming back, you know, and you can go back 2-3 weeks in this podcast and find different times where I have made fun of Marcus Davenport all the way from the left side of the board to the right side of the board. And I will be the first to admit he had a huge impact last game. You know, opposite Cam Jordan sliding in, and he looked good. He looked good. He didn't look like he was too pegged down by that injury. And I think them, you know, giving him more time to come back and really make those, or try, knock on wood, and make those two first round picks we spent on him worth it. Because man, we could have packaged up and gotten Lamar Jackson. We could have gotten just about any, but I digress. Anyway, you know, he looked good. He had a huge impact. Mad shout outs and props to him. I hope he can stay healthy, because when he's been healthy, he's been a force. In between him, Cam, and Trey, that is a pretty nasty front with those guys mm-hmm. they have behind them rotating in that can make some impacts too. You know, and if they're going to make a deep playoff push or a playoff push at all where they're at in the season, that's still a question. You never know with the NFC being so good and having so many solid teams and a tough ass schedule coming up. That is going to be the big factor, is that defensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if before the season we had the crazy Clowney couple weeks where the Saints were trying to get Clowney. If you asked me that week, would you take Clowney or Trey Hendrickson? 99 times out of 100, I would have said Clowney. Mm-hmm. And you know what it's looking like? Trey Hendrickson is playing so much better than Clowney mm-hmm. right now. And Clowney's getting all the looks in the world. I don't know why he can't get a sack. I still would have loved to have Clowney on the team. I think he would have done great. But he can't get sacks. He's finding himself in the injury report this week. Don't know if he'll go. But Trey Hendrickson's sitting here on a contract year with 4.5 sacks leading the team. And with Davenport back, that's even that much bigger, because they actually filtered him in just a little bit. He only had 15 snaps, but in those 15 snaps, I believe he had 4 pressures, and he was double teamed a lot on those 4 pressures. And he also created 4 pressures for his other teammates, meaning like he took up blocks and they were able to go get him. But one play in particular, I think you could say that he won them the game. And it was a late pressure by Davenport who hit Justin Herbert in perfect timing. And Mike Williams was wide open. It would have been a 50-plus yard touchdown. Lattimore got beat on a double move. And it was a, it would, if Davenport wasn't there, I'm sure Justin Herbert could have gotten it there. And we're sitting here at 2-3. There's tons of things that could have happened in that game where we're sitting here in 2-3. But thankfully, we're not, and we're sitting here at 3-2. And we're finally somewhat, kind of, sort of healthy. And I think if they don't come out this week and look good, I'm not going to say great. If they look good, I'll be pleased. But if it's a dogfight and they don't play well and they're hurting themselves and their big plays are happening, just not much confidence there. I don't know if there'll be buyers at the trade deadline. I think coming up in a few weeks, there's definitely some names out there that could be interesting for them if they need help in the back end or anywhere else. But like, as I say that, it's like, what could you go out and get? Because you got the guys in the building who have played well. I mean, we look at the training camp. We were talking about this before the show. In training camp, these guys were the talk of the training camp. They were the best unit on the field. And now we're looking at it, and they're the worst, and they're a liability. Malcolm Jenkins isn't playing the best. Marcus Williams, we always loved his coverage abilities. His coverage hasn't been very good. PG Williams has been dog crap as usual. But one of the bright spots is Patrick Robinson, and we're getting Jack Rabbit back, who has also been a bright spot. So hopefully they can put it together this game and somewhat lock down the Panthers and get their fourth win of the season, get back on top of the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, as weird as it seems with such a tough schedule coming up, this really does feel like a game that the Saints need so bad. And, you know, I think to your point about whether or not there'll be buyers at the trade line, it is going to come down to health. And I think it comes down a lot to, is Marcus Davenport healthy and ready to go? And can the cornerbacks room and the safety room finally find out where their heads are? Because even Marcus Williams, who I am super high appraise on, I think he's good, has not looked good. And at times he's looked bad. But yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, and we'll find out, I guess. That's why I'm so excited for Sunday, you know, get back into it. It was a nice week off. Let's do it again.
Yeah. I've had tons of people on Twitter say, why don't the Saints bring in Earl Thomas? And I'm like, okay, would he start over Malcolm Jenkins? Is he better than Malcolm Jenkins right now? Probably. Do they need another guy who's been a locker room problem? No. And I've gotten too many tweets today about the Saints bringing Antonio Brown. Dear God, don't let that happen.
People will not stop.
That'll be not a good relationship with Michael Thomas and Antonio Brown. And Michael Thomas just needs a nice, relaxing locker room where he doesn't have people coming at his head. And hopefully he doesn't throw any more punches this year. But
we definitely don't even know if Antonio Brown is any good anymore. We don't know. Like, God, people are so stupid.
I can't even – I thought we would have been halfway into the season saying – Antonio Brown is not going to come into the league this year. And the second we get close to the week 8 when he can come back, it's like Antonio Brown, Seahawks, who else is interested? It's like, come on.
Like, sure. Send him to the Seahawks. Destroy that locker room. Mm-hmm. I don't care. That's fine. Be a headache for Pete Carroll and company. I don't care. Good. Do it.
Yeah. They've had great
success.
They look
freaking good right now. Mm-hmm.
They look really good. And you look at just the name base, and having Antonio Brown, the Seahawks, is kind of scary. But you just never know how things can implode on you, like Earl Thomas in Baltimore. So, I mean, another things I wanted to touch base on is how disappointed, not really disappointed is not the right word, but I haven't been happy with the rookie play and how much they've been able to play and just in general snaps. Mm-hmm. We saw Zach Bond get a few snaps against the Chargers.
Got like 18 or something the whole year.
I don't know if that's even counting special teams, because he's played a lot of special teams. But I just think it's hard for him to find a role in the team. I knew coming into the season, we all were saying it's going to be hard to make the roster for a rookie, and getting these three guys are going to have impact. And Adam Trautman has had one catch, and I know he's been a good blocker, but he's been inactive for a game healthy scratch. We saw Andrews Pete go down, and Cesar Ruiz didn't step in. I don't know what the problem is there. I know he's a rookie. And we are super blessed with Eric McCoy, who came in as a rookie and was phenomenal. Rookie centers don't usually come in and just are lights out like he was. Great second year by him so far. But maybe it's just Caesar's taking the rookie way, taking slowly, learning slowly. Nick Easton's did not practice with a concussion. I don't know if he'll be able to go this week. So just getting more of reliability for Cesar Ruiz. I thought when he's played, he's been pretty good. I don't know what happens at practice, if he's missing assignments or jumping off sides or what he's doing. We can't really see much of practice, but I want to see more from the rookies moving forward, whether it's just a package for Adam Trautman or whatnot. And I completely forgot to touch base on Kiko Alonso coming back from PUP and Ty Montgomery coming off from IR. I think Ty Montgomery coming off IR is good. He's not going to get much playing time, maybe a few special team snaps, like one carry game or something. But Kiko could be huge just because the play from Alex Anzalone hasn't been the best.
Yeah, it really hasn't. And Kiko, when called upon, has been a really reliable guy for this defense that so badly needs reliability right now. It's just not been pretty in any way, shape, or form. So really, really hoping that they can pull it together and, you know, that he can come in and say, hey, look, guys, this is a team that's built to win a Super Bowl. And this is a defense that's been built over years to win a Super Bowl. You know, technically, you could say it all started back with Cam Jordan. And, you know, it's just one of those things. You need a leader. And, you know, who better to do that than a linebacker who's got plenty of experience and plenty of potential and ability, you know, to step up and lead the way again. And, you know, I'm not expecting to be the Abraham Lincoln of this team. You know, he doesn't need to be that leader, but it wouldn't hurt to have some form of some veteran talent come back into a team that's been struggling and kind of shake them up, say, hey, look, something's got to give. We got to be better because our offense is still putting up. Even when they look horrible, they're still putting up 30 points. So Kiko could be a really, really big addition to come in and help DeMario Davis lead the defense for sure.
Yeah, I can almost guarantee that the Saints are among the league lows in amount of snaps that they've played with three real linebackers on the field at the same time. I saw Caden Ellis for a few plays against Tampa Bay. Haven't seen him since. And I can – I'll bet that Chauncey Garner-Johnson has played the most strong side linebacker for them throughout the whole season. And I know if Kiko comes back 100% healthy, I still don't think they'd play a lot with three linebackers. I think he would take Anzalone's spot. But just being able to have the flexibility to have three linebackers on the field, even if it's not really their game plan, I think Kiko and DeMario Davis are a great duo. And when Kiko came in last year, he made some big time plays and some big time moments, and he caused some turnovers, had a couple tackle for losses, and he's an impact player, and he's not one of the five stars on the defense, but he's one of the main guys that won't make bad mistakes. Alex Anzalone's caused turnovers to be wiped off the board with flags, missing run fits and things like that. I think Anzalone's a good little linebacker, but like Ricky Jackson said, they have linebacker, special teams linebackers playing linebacker besides DeMario Davis. And I hate to say it, but I think Anzalone, his ceiling right now is kind of special teams, but he makes some plays now and then, but, you just want to see Kiko Alonso in there and healthy. He didn't show up with an injury report. I have no idea what that means. They designated him to return to practice today. I don't know if he practiced. I don't know if he's on the roster yet. All those things need to process and whatnot. Even if he plays this week, probably won't see a huge role from him after coming off a ACL tear. But just getting all these guys back on the defense healthy, I think that would be great. Get a little role for Zach Bond going, and need some better play from Malcolm Jenkins, and just communication wise, everything. I hope they took this bye week to fix the communication issues, fix the coverage issues. I hope PJ Williams was on his iPad watching how to run cover two multiple times. Love PJ, but can't have that happen.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. He needs to hit the books. A lot of guys on this team need to hit the books. That's for sure. We'll see if they have, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, if the Saints win this game, they'll be first in the division. If they lose, they'll drop down to 3, and it's not looking very good from them for here on out. They got the Bears, which is a winnable game. But after that, they got the Bucks, they got the Niners, they got the Falcons twice, they got a talented young team in the Broncos, they got the Chiefs, Vikings, and they got the Panthers again. And if you're looking at a Saints team who's if you're looking at the first 5 weeks, I don't know if there's a lot of wins in that in just looking at it like that. But if they come out and play really well against Carolina, I think that'll change the views of a lot of Saints fans and a lot of the mass media on just to quiet down. Michael Thomas is back. They'll be just fine. But I personally think they'll find a way to get a win in this game. I hope the offense is clicking on all cylinders. Hope they can get Michael Thomas going. I know the first 15 plays are scripted, and I know a few of those huddles will be like Michael Thomas on one, ready, break. And they'll find ways to get him the ball early, and I think he'll have a great game.
Yeah, they're definitely going to script him into those first couple of drives where almost everything is completely scripted. And, you know, if they start hitting on a few of those drives, it hasn't been as good as normal. If they can start hitting, bring him back, because, you know, he is going to change that plan up a whole lot. That dynamic 1-2-3 punch, Breeze, Kamara, Thomas, could be really, really nasty. We've seen it happen before, and they played so well last year. That was when Kamara didn't have one of his legs. Like, basically, you know, he couldn't have done anything what we've seen from Kamara so far. So it'd be nice to see the triumvirate back in good standing.
You can call him Slant Boy all you want.
Yeah.
But you cannot call him Slant Boy if you cannot stop the slant.
Yeah, he's going to dunk on you in a slant. It doesn't matter what you call him.
That's what I want to say to every single person who calls him Slant Boy. Just stop the slant, then you know it's coming. Stop it. They just can't.
It's a stupid argument. It's so dumb. If it's just slants, stick a linebacker out there, tell him to stand right where that slant is going to start, and have him pick off every pass. It's easy.
And you know what we've been missing from the offense? I haven't seen a single slant like that ran by any other wide receiver yet.
Bring back the slants. I don't care.
Maybe Sanders ran one once.
Yeah.
Or Deontay Harris ran one once, but none. I mean, that is such a reliable part of the offense. I guarantee there's 10 different kind of formations that they can run that slant in, and teams just can't stop it. It's an easy way to get yardage, and not having Thomas, I mean, that plays out of the playbook. So having him back, that would be great.
Just run a slant every single play. Every play. Just to say, you know, oh yeah, if it's Apple, you can stand in one place and he'd still go up and get it over him. But that's another story. We're not ragging on ex-Saints players.
Yeah, we don't want to get blocked by Annie Apple on Twitter.
Yeah, true. Today. She seems cool. Whatever. She seems aight. Eli seems aight. I'm not mad.
Yeah. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. We'll be catching you guys after the game. Hopefully talking about a W. You can catch us on Twitter. You know where at's by now. We'll bark on you all you want, but you know where to find us. Follow the Canal Street Chronicles Instagram. We got a new Instagram. Go check us out. We got some nice edits on there. Show us some love. Send us some questions. We can get you guys featured in the podcast. But we'll catch you guys in the next episode again. And I'm Brennan. He's Nate. Wish you guys tune in.
Who that?
Who that?
Let's go. We on the road. The next stop. The Super Bowl. Hell yeah. Try, but